Michael's kind of running a one-man show, so good job, Michael. Thank you for doing that. We're going to continue our series on elder, being examining the office of elder, and if you've missed some of those, I would encourage you to go back and to listen to them. Last couple weeks, we were kind of looking at, last week we looked at the qualifications of an elder. This morning, we're going to look at the role of the elder. And by this, I do not mean the responsibilities of the elder, and I do not mean the activities of the elder. What I mean is the role. What is it, the part that they are playing? And so the first one is a father of the church. And you might be thinking, well, Pastor, isn't there that verse that says, don't call anybody your father, right, except for God? Well, there is that verse. It's Matthew 23:9. It says, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. And you might think, that's kind of an odd verse. Why would God say not to call anybody your father? I mean, we could say dad, right? Well, it's not saying father. I can say dad. That's not really what they're getting at. And then their very next verse, he says, don't call anyone your teacher, right? I'm sure you've called somebody a teacher before. I was thinking about if there was this, you ever seen those little TV shows where if you say the wrong word, you get sucked out of the floor? And it's like, wah, 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 and you're down, right? And could you imagine coming into a church and saying, hello, in the Catholic Church, they call the priest father, right? Hello, father, and right down the tunnel they go, right? And people are looking around like, what just happened, right? What's going on here? And so the next person walks up and says, hello, teacher? Right down the tunnel they go, right? And so then the next person walks up and says, hello, rabbi? Right down the tunnel they go. And the next person was like, so what do you do here? And he says, well, I have the gift of teaching. Waiting for him to get sucked down the... No, that was okay. So you have the gift of teaching? Yeah. So what do you do with that? Well, that's not really what Jesus... We're not talking about semantics here, right? Matthew chapter 23, verse 6 through 12 is talking about the Pharisees. It's talking about their hypocrisy. It's talking about how rather than actually being the people, the leaders, the religious leaders that God has called them to be, they're hypocrites, and they just do it for the mere appreciation, for the mere what they get out of it. Verse 6 through 12 says, they love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, rabbi, rabbi. But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Each one of us here are equal in God's family. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. A while back I preached a sermon. I don't remember the title of it. It was something to the effect of how to set your pastor up for failure or something like that. But anyway, one of the points that I was making was that if you think of me, the pastor, right, as somebody up here and you're down here, then we already got a problem, right? Because I'm the pastor. I'm a human just like you are. You're a child of God just like I am. And yes, I do have the pleasure to get up here and preach the Word of God. But we are all in the same position. We are all followers of Jesus Christ. And the other, that will mess us, that will mess our relationship up, because you will think that I am something that I am not. And the other way that we can have a serious problem is if I think I'm something that I am not, right? If I think I'm up here and you guys are down here, that will be a big problem as well. And so we have to understand that titles do not make anybody special. Even in our own constitution, right? They said no titles of nobility, right? We don't want to have that system where, oh, you are this person, right? Of this nobility or whatever. So the idea is, no, we are not here in our church about accomplishing titles and thinking that we have arrived at some place because we have a title. But we're not talking about titles, we're talking about roles. What is the role that the elder plays in the church? And if you think of the different institutions of authority, just like a father plays a role of authority in his family, the elder plays a role of authority in the church. Anybody ever heard this phrase? Dad, he's picking on me, right? He's touching me, right? And why do you call for dad? Why do you call for dad? What's that? He's one of the authorities, yeah? And he's, would you say he'll do something? He'll straighten him out. Yeah. We want dad to do something, right? Because we're being bothered. And so that is a role that dad plays. He says, knock it off, right? And that is one of the roles that the elder plays, as we are in authority over the body. And therefore, we provide correction, right? Dad, he's not following the rules. 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 5 says, of the elder, it should be one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? And so an elder does rule over the church. And he provides correction to the church. Titus 1:9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. And so just like we call on dad when dad sets the rules and one of the kids breaks the rules, say, Dad, you might want to go check out that child of yours, right? You say, Randy, you might want to go check out that person over there. Because that's the role that the elder plays, just like a father. He is also there to help. He plays a role of helping when we are in need. I remember one time, I've told you about this in the past, right? I wanted to go down and visit my sister, encourage her. It was in the middle of the night. I was going to be there when she woke up and went out to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I think it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, I broke down on the side of the road. And who did I call? Dad, I need help. I need help. James 5:14 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The idea there is actually one of not just sick in the sense of having a cold or a flu, but somebody who is close to death and concerned about whether or not they are going to actually go to heaven. Right? Is their faith going to be to sustain them? And so they call for the elder of the church because the righteous prayers, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so the elders are there to help when we are in need. The elders also there to provide guidance. Right? How many when you have a big decision to make and you don't know what to do, who do you call? Right? You call Dad, because you know Dad is going to give you the best advice that he can. Dad's on your side. He's there to help you, to guide you in the right path. Acts 20, 28 through 32 says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. And therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." And so the elders are there as overseers to guide the church, to guide the people in the church, and to make sure they are going in the right direction. And there are many others, but the last one I want to touch on, this comparison of an elder to a father, is provision. Right? Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says that he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so the Bible says that the body of Christ is like a body, right? And not one person can do it all, right? Not one person can say, "I am the church." We are all parts of the church. And at different times, we're going to recognize, hey, I don't have enough to carry out this thing that I know God wants me to do. I need help. And so the elder is there to come in and to organize help. Who do you go to when you don't have enough, right? You're lacking. Maybe it's money, maybe it's wisdom, maybe it's something else. Oftentimes you go to Dad. Right? And the elder plays that role in the church. So he is a father of the church. The other role that he plays is manager. Manager of the church. Overseer. One who exercises authority over the church. Now, how many of you have heard from your father this phrase? "Because I said so." Anybody ever hear that one? A few people, yeah. Elders, unfortunately, really don't get a whole lot of mileage out of that phrase. But we have another one. It's "because God said so." That carries a little bit of weight to it, but 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2 says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am also a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." The idea that that elder is not to be one who's just full of himself or one who just wants to exercise control over other people. The idea of the elder is one who says, I love these people and I want to help them. I want to encourage them. I want to strengthen them. I want to help them be more effective. And so he comes in as an authority, not to exercise control, but to help. That through service, he exercises his authority and people see the value of what he has to say. 1 Corinthians 3:19, 9 through 15 says, For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, and let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work and what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Here's the reality is, as elders, God has given to us a grace to serve his people. We have the foundation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, on which we are to build and which we are to strengthen the body. But each one will be tested. Each one's work will be tested. And there is a reward for those who serve God well. And so we are given this ministry of grace as God's ministers of grace, the church. We are to serve the church gracefully. So we are managers of the church. Overseers. And the last thing is shepherd. We are shepherds of the flock. We lead by example, not by compulsion. Acts 20 and 28 says, Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, which among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. This is something very precious. The body of Christ is something very precious to God. And he has put us in this position as overseers to shepherd, to watch over, to help. And the idea is, as shepherds, we have a position of authority. But it's not one that we just get by title. It's not one that we just, oh, well, you're the elder, and so, therefore, you're the wisest person in the room, right? That's not the idea at all. It's one of earned authority. Earned authority. Hebrews 13:7, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. The idea is that the elder is watching out for each one of us, and we are going to give an account to God for how we exercise that ministry. And so as we serve you by watching out for you, by helping you, by looking over you, there is a requirement to be submissive, to come under, because that's what's profitable, right? It's not very profitable to be under an elder if you're not willing to be under the elder. It's hard for them to watch out for you if you will not be in view. And so the elder earns his authority by serving the body. And lastly, a living example. The elder is supposed to be a living example. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Elders are to be a living example of how to live out our faith. Just like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Elders are supposed to have that same mentality. Follow me as I follow Christ, and I will watch out for you. I will help you. One of the parts of this passage that I think is really important is it's not by compulsion, but willingly. One of the things that dad has that an elder does not is the spanking spoon, right? We can't take people outside behind the woodshed like they did years ago. And so an elder must be well studied. He must understand what is right and to be able to communicate through arguments and through reasoning why things are the way they are, why we have to do it God's way. And that is at times a very difficult responsibility, especially when people are unwilling to obey God. It can be very discouraging and frustrating. But none of us are here by force. All of us are here willingly. And so we are led in that same way, not by compulsion, but willingly. But it's important for us to stay a body and to be united that we are willing to come under the authority of the elders and to recognize their authority and to be in submission to it. Let's close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you have given us these pictures. Lord, you are the chief shepherd. You are the one that we follow. You're the one that guides our path. And your Holy Spirit lives within us and teaches us and guides us and directs us. But Lord, you have also given us this human institution, the church. And when we come into faith, we are adopted into this family, the church. And you instruct us to be a part of a local church with regular worship where we gather together. And we encourage one another, and we build each other up. And we see, not only in the example of the New Testament where they appointed elders in the church, but also in through the letters of Paul and the apostles, the teachings of the importance of the role of elder to the church. And Lord, as we in this church consider our elders, and as elders we consider our responsibilities, Lord, I just pray that you would encourage us, help us, Lord, that this church would grow and would be a light in this world. Lord, activity requires organization, and let us be organized people. Let us be orderly. Let us be honoring to you in the way that you would have us run this church. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the role of elder. And as an elder, Lord, we do recognize the importance and the awesome responsibility that we have. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us grace to go and exercise that responsibility. Sometimes it seems impossible. to do. But Lord, through you, it is not impossible. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So Lord, I thank you for that, and I pray that you would encourage us, Lord, not to follow as the world does, but Lord, according to your Spirit, that you would unite us, that we could glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Page 83, there's just something about that name. Close in prayer. There is something about that name, Jesus, King of Kings, Lords of Lords, the head of man, the head of the church.